it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Oi, oi, I'm Jimmy Bullard, and this is me old muck of Fenners. We're back together, son. How are ya?
Hi, Bully. Great to be back working with you. Well, what are we doing here, though?
We're starting a football club in podcast form. The only thing we know, it's called FC Bullard. After that, it's all up for grabs.
So, we haven't got any players, we haven't got a kit, we haven't got a club badge, we haven't got a stadium.
Correct. FC Bullard. Welcome to the club.
Why are we doing this?
For the love of the game, mate.
For the love of rugby.
In today's episode,
corruption. Ben gets snaked by the snake. The draft is a farce. It's a stupid game anyway. Who cares about it? Oh, and the timer nearly filled in Eben Etzebeth.
Welcome to the show. Hello, Ben. We're here again. How are you?
I'm all right. Not the ideal start. Got done by a speed camera again, didn't I? I saw it and I was like, oh, what's the speed limit? And it's a 40. I was in and around the 40 mark. But you know when you're like,
Don't incriminate yourself. You were definitely doing 40 or below.
Let's redo that. So there I am, driving, you know, chatting away. And then I suddenly realised, and I was like, it's a 40. And I was doing 34, obviously. But you know when you have that moment of panic of like, oh, how quick am I going?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. So I'll just see what comes through the post, but not ideal.
No, not a great start today.
Yours?
Mine's all right. I've avoided the motorway at all costs. My only problem now is I'm coming cross-country a lot of places, and it seems that the council are designed to resurface random roads. I don't know if they're just using up their budget in the middle of, what we're in, April. But every time I seem to come across country, there's another road that's been, closed today for resurfacing. It's like, cool, I'll go on the 72-mile detour around it then. Could you just let me through? So that's what I've been doing on the way here.
Do you ever do, you know when it says road closed, access only? And you think, well, I'm going to see if it is closed, right? I'm one of those person. I'm like, well, I'll be the judge whether the road's closed or not. And I'll decide whether I can get through or not. So then you go around it and you start going down. And you think, yeah, see, it's fine. And then it's like totally blocked up. And you're like, fuck. So you have to just turn around and come back. But I just like to check, you know. I am one of those person that will do that.
Yeah, one of the dads on the schoolroom was telling me he's recently got a caravan and did that. And he was going to Norfolk. And like someone said, it says it's closed, but it's actually open through to the campsite. It was closed. And it was a single lane thing. And he had to reverse around the caravan with two cars behind him.
86 point turn, was it?
In the pouring rain.
It wasn't the dad from school.
No,
was
it was a different dad. Okay. No, it was a different dad.
Shame that.
So anyway, Ben, this is our Thursday episode, but we have to discuss the big blockbuster news in rugby that's happened this week, our draft episode. It's gone mental. I've had at least 6 text messages and 3 people come up to me. Big shout out to George and George at the farm. I went to watch them lambing the other day. And the two guys at work and there, George and George said, we listened to the podcast. What about the draft? And like, yeah, so they probably listened to this. So I think that was his last night on lambing though. So hopefully he's down the pub. But people have been inundated as a message about the draft. It was a great concept. So firstly, congratulations on, you know, you're not just a pretty face. You're the brains behind this thing, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't like to take too much
credit. Creative brains behind this.
But you're right. It was entirely my idea. It's a fantastic idea. And now it's going to become a yearly thing because I basically nailed it.
There's a lot of other people as well want to be part of this draft. So maybe at some point we're going to have to expand the draft. And I think at some point we need to get a billionaire person in and we should need to make this happen.
Yeah.
Sod your global season or your club World Cup and this stuff.
People have gone nuts for the draft. I don't know why, like, people loved it. And in honor of the draft, I should be sat here right now wearing my helmet for this entire chat. But people have loved it. I think they enjoyed the challenge of it.
I will take credit for introducing the snake draft to the UK.
Yeah, which is bollocks, by the way.
Why? What makes you say that the snake draft could not be fair?
I think next year, I go first.
Why would you go first, Ben? Because normally in the NFL or in American sports, which have a draft, the worst team goes first.
Why would I be first?
Yeah, why would you be first, Ben?
Well, because it's bollocks, mate, because I've come last. Like, that's why I'll come first, because I've actually lost. Like, it's absolute ridiculous. And do you know what annoys me, right? I'm gonna put it out there. We all love Ant, we all love Genji, that's fine. But I've been out here, right? podding away for the love of rugby. You know, people come up to me and they're all liars. We love the show. We love the pod. In my hour of need, in my hour of voting, where were you? In the words of Delia Smith, let's be having you. Where are you? I'll tell you where you are. You're voting for the other opposition. My team was stacked full of absolute ballers. Triple R bastards dominating, and somehow I've come last overall. And I just, yeah, there's a few potholes that are still listening to this show, clearly.
Some might say it's a popularity vote and you were last on your own podcast. So
that doesn't sit well with me, Colin. That doesn't sit well with me. But anyway.
All the work you've done, you've been on the BBC, you've been here, you've been there.
Don't forget the work I did at the BBC, because I was on prime time for anyone over the ages of 65 onwards, and in return.
Okay, so in semi-final one, Ben's Triple R Bastards, your team played Anthony Watson's The Resistance and you lost.
By a landslide, apparently. It's corruption. It is absolutely corrupt. It doesn't matter where you go in the world, there's corruption. Even when you're trying to do a nice thing like a draft.
So you lost, right? Yeah, your ass handed to you. Semi-final two, the Godzillas beat Genji's Unplayables by, it was incredibly tight. It was only 10 votes, but we had more than a million votes, actually. I think it was a million. I'm not very good at numbers, but a lot of votes, over 1,000 votes. And my Godzillas beat Genji's Unplayables by a resounding 10 votes, probably like 0.1% of the thing. It was that close.
Well, congratulations,
Thank
you.
Thank you. I think probably we should, stop the count there.
So you made the final with Ant. And you two got double picks. And Genji mentioned, like, it's bollocks, the snake in him. And Rich and Moore on X said, the only two boys getting double picks, making the final. I think next year I have to be first and then Genji has to be fourth.
Well, you can pick first, right? But the interest you've had, mate, with the expansion draft, other teams will come in and the expansion teams will get the first pick. So you won't be getting first pick. You'll be getting whatever pick is after the new teams join the experiment.
I look at my team and I'm just like, you know, it makes me think I'm doing this pod a disservice by not educating the listeners enough. Because on paper, that team fucking bangs everyone. Like, that team doesn't lose.
It doesn't, Ben. It finishes fourth out of four.
Anyway,
there was a final.
Oh, was there?
There was a final between the two winners of the semis, which was Anthony Watson's Resistance and my own Godzillas. And somehow Tone's Resistance won with 59% of the vote. He won a really close final. But yeah, but there is some voting irregularities I've seen here. Apparently our own teammates, Mike Brown and Jack Van Poorfleet, voted for Tone, which makes me suggest that he's gone around the changing room rallying for votes. Now, I don't know if he's paid for those votes or what, but he's done something for these because I didn't tell everyone about the votes. So I think something dodgy's gone on here. So I'd like that final reverse, please.
Stinks of corruption again. I said it. It's corruption everywhere you look. So Ant's pulled a fast one. I've been absolutely shafted somehow, which is madness. So was there a third, fourth playoff or not?
Yeah, there was, yeah.
And who won that?
Not you.
No, are you serious?
There was a bronze medal match and Ellis Genji's Unplayables beat Ben's Triple R's Bastards. So,
mate, what the fuck's that about? That's ridiculous.
Your team was just, it was sore, mate. It just the emotion of losing the semi, I think, you know, they'd been hyped up to win. You'd hyped them up so much that maybe emotionally they just fell off a cliff after losing that semi and just wanted to get out of there. You know, they didn't see the point in the third, fourth place playoff.
Did they read my team? Like, did they hear the team that I picked?
Yeah, and they thought it was the worst team there. So, yeah, we'll take the results aside. Did you enjoy the exercise? What's your favourite parts? You know, there's a lot of stats and stuff to run through. Did you enjoy that side of it?
I did enjoy it. It was good fun. It was difficult. It was harder than I thought trying to piece together a team. And I reckon I left myself. In hindsight, there's some positions I should have picked earlier.
What, like just a better team?
I can't give that away.
Just a better team in general, yeah?
I can't give that information away until next year. But I should have picked certain positions earlier. And I didn't. But
you should have just picked better players if you wanted to win it, mate. You should have probably...
But do you know what? It's like, it's only till you finish afterwards, you're like, oh, I should have got him. But actually, you know, it was difficult. I enjoyed the process. It was good fun, but it wasn't that easy. I enjoyed the, you know, there was a little bit of a time limit on it. You know, you can only have two from each nation. That made it difficult. The players you do want suddenly go with someone else and it changes your whole, you know, you've got to be adaptable. But it was good fun. I enjoyed it. I'm a bit staggered that I've come last somehow. Don't really understand that.
I think next year we should get a couple more teams in. We should have it live in the studio and we should probably like have our own live NFL draft.
Yeah.
We should make it like like the actual NFL draft. They're in, I think, Detroit this weekend on a big stage, and we should have a live pod in front of a live studio audience, and they can all cheer us.
Where are we going?
But we would have to also have a green room of, like, one of the embarrassing things about the NFL draft, I watch it, sometimes they invite the players, they invite like 20 players to come and sit in the green room backstage, and when they come out, they get announced on stage. So imagine doing that with players. Like, we just have to get 20 international players. Can you come and sit in the green room, please? And just not pick them.
Yeah, sorry, you didn't make the cut. Or the one you wanted.
40. Could you, Fred Burnsy?
Like, Freddie, could you fly over from Japan, mate? I just really need you. It'll all be about you. And sorry, Burnsy, use my English quota up.
I think a lot of the listeners have pointed out that we missed quite a lot of players. As in your Jeremy Gibson Parks, Pete Steph to Toys, Itoji's, James Lowe, Tuivasa-Sova's, Faf de Klerk, Khaleesi. Turns out there's quite a good team that we didn't pick. Maybe we should expand the draft, get some expansion draft money in there. We should sell off a franchise.
The thing is, people can like list all the names, right? So you've got Cheslin Kolbe, Richie Mwanga, Gael Fiku, Pete Steph to Toy, Jamie George, RG Schneiman, right? But you can only have two from each nation, so it's not that easy. It's like once they're used up, like, you know, that is the challenge of the Love of Rugby 2024 draft.
I've had actually people requesting merchandise from said teams. Probably not your team, as you finished fourth, but the teams in the final, there was apparently a lot of interest in getting merch for those teams. So,
well, my merchandise not for sale because you didn't want to back me in the vote, so you can't have a t-shirt. And you're either with the Triple R Bastards or you're not. So I will be going through the votes. I will see who actually voted for me. And I'll see who didn't vote for me. And if you didn't, you ain't getting anything.
Yeah, we'll have to probably do a little bit more preparation for next year because I didn't realise it was going to be as big as what it has turned out to be.
So, can you remember when we're obviously picking our drafts and we're looking at the Optostats and Genji had his wild card pick and he didn't use him, but the Michael Hogg from Spain with like 29 metres per carry?
But the Spanish hooker, I think his name is more Mikel Og.
Yeah. It's actually Mikel Pablo Hogg. But he's been in touch.
Has he?
And I haven't heard this voice message, and nor have you.
Please do the honours.
Right, let's hear it.
For the love of rugby, I thoroughly enjoyed the latest episode about the NFL draft, and thank you for the shout out.
Hang on a minute, he's not fucking Spanish. Like,
residency.
Before we play anymore, like, clearly, Michael Og, right, you ain't Spanish, for starters, and I know that Spain got disqualified from going to the World Cup. They actually qualified, and they were meant to go ahead of Portugal. But they had a player who wasn't Spanish qualified. Well, I think we've worked it out who it is. It's fucking Michael Og. But anyway, we'll play him on.
I thoroughly enjoyed the latest episode about the NFL draft. And thank you for the shout out. But I can confirm that I've never made a 29-meter carry in my life. All the best.
So there, Michael might have called into question the stats from Opta that we used. But I actually think the stats were correct. I think Genji's interpretation of said stat might have been a little wrong.
I think it's safe to say Genji was getting himself in the right pickle and he probably got it wrong. But yeah, Michael Hogg. So there he is, the Spanish legend. Thanks for getting in touch. And for a second there, you know, the world thought that you carried 29 metres per carry and now you've blown it by announcing that you don't.
You could have got a big contract somewhere.
Yeah, contract was waiting for you somehow.
Yeah. And there was a big contract in France waiting for you, Michael. Honesty, they say, is the best policy. Not in that case, mate. Just go with it.
Not in that case. You've announced it now that actually you can't ball carry. It's gone.
Yeah, just for the show notes, probably record, that is a man...
Claiming
to be... That is a person claiming to be Michael. It might be Michael Hogg of the Spanish hooker, or it might just be someone claiming to be Michael Hogg of the Spanish hooker. But either way, we're taking it as...
Or it might be Michael Hogg from Eton, who's got great friends called Bertie and Rupert. But who knows? There's a Michael Hogg out there somewhere.
Great. We've got a comment from at Stuff Plus Things on Instagram. Says, the starting petition for the whole video chat to be shared.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that's possible.
There was a lot of... we had a minute each, and I reckon for some of the picks, there was 55 seconds of deep thought and...
Pure silence.
Fuck. Nope, got him, taken him. So probably not the best listening.
It's a lot better listen once edited down than it would be to watch the entire thing. You get the best bits. So yeah, but next year we're live, so buy a ticket. Right, we've got a message from Sally. This episode was possibly one of the greatest things I've ever listened to in my life. Make this an annual thing. This was the, possibly, this is, like, just think, we need to find out.
Possibly one of the greatest things. Not the greatest thing. One of the greatest things. So, you know, top five.
Okay. Well, it's... Sally, thanks for getting in touch. this will be an annual thing, you'll be pleased to know. And we're glad that you enjoyed it, like so many other people seem to have enjoyed that episode. So it will be a yearly thing. So thank you for the support.
Yeah, we've got a message from D Muck M on Reddit, which says, Dan, picking Luku should be an indictable offence. Thank you, D Muck M. But needs must. And
blimey, it ain't that bad. Like, Christ. Like.
Also, mate, you got bonus points having no hair. So.
Well, it served you all right, mate. You made a final.
Well, yeah, precisely.
You know, I had Aaron Smith, and apparently he's not good enough, you know, winning two World Cups. And
though Aaron Smith has been in contact, hasn't he? He was over the moon to be selected for your team, wasn't he? Hasn't he?
Aaron was buzzing.
It's the second time that we've praised Aaron Smith on the podcast, and he's relished in that praise. And then we've asked him to come on the podcast, and no reply.
Yeah. But do you know what? Game recognises game, yeah, so who cares? Yeah. Up, Aaron. Have a great time in Japan, son. We've got a message. Got a message from Dinesh. Can't believe finishers weren't included on the draft. What would you change for next season's draft? Oh my God, it's hard enough to pick 15. Like, when you're only allowed two from each nation. Finishers. Well, Michael Ogg might have made it. No, we don't need finishers in there as well.
Yeah, it would have expanded the draft quite a lot and would have changed the tactical side of the draft. You know, you got your bench right, your front row impact subs. I'd have probably picked six front rowers in my first six picks. So I think 15 was probably enough.
Do you know when, like, people want more?
Yeah.
And then you give them more and they go,
yeah,
not
too
good.
Too many.
Yeah. So, no, we'll stick to it. Like, you know, we'll build on it. Like, we'll get some merchandise next year. We'll do it live. Like, it'll be mega.
But said, what will you change for next year's draft? See, one thing about next year's draft is we keep a similar format, but maybe we play like...
No. We don't have a similar... We're not doing that snake shit again.
Well, you'd have the first pick in the draft because you were the worst team, Ben. So you'd actually want the snake draft, surely.
We're doing the snake draft. We are doing
the snake draft. No, we're not doing that. Don't worry about the snake draft next year. What I'm saying is potentially what we could do is, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, is like we could all have a franchise player from our, like in true NFL style, we could all have a franchise player from our team that we select that can't be picked by anybody else. So they are automatically kept on our sides. And then all the rest of the players go back into the pot to be selected. But we keep certain players back from our own team.
Yeah. But then did that not clash? So say I had DuPont.
Well, Tone would have him.
So how do I get DuPont?
Yeah, we'll trade. You can, if Tone wants your future five first round picks in the next 5 years worth of drafts, you could trade him away for DuPont and then franchise him. The going rate for a quarterback is normally like three first round picks or something like that. You could trade away your next 3 years worth of first round picks to get DuPont from Tone. But at some point, someone's going to have to keep a ledger of all these transactions and it's going to be tough. But we could do it. And then you probably moan about sitting out the first three rounds of the snake draft. So I don't, you know what I mean? This is...
I'm willing to do some bits, change some bits, because I feel like my opinion on selection has been questioned and I'm not happy about it. Maybe we'll get Love of Rugby helmets made. What about that?
We could.
I don't know what helmets have to do with rugby, but obviously the draft idea came from the NFL. So let's get some Love of Rugby helmets. We'll get one custom made for yourself. That's going to be a big helmet.
A big one, yeah.
But we'll get it done. Would you like a... visor?
Glare's not a big problem in my line of work.
No. Would you like just one bar? I feel like you're a one bar man.
Someone grab hold of that and really rally it. I want an aggressive face mask.
But it'll be good when you're speaking down the mic that you've got room.
We've got a question from Sam Watson. Coley selecting Etzebeth reminded me of the time that Ben got started on by Etzebeth and the entire England squad defended him. What was he thinking in those 3 seconds when it was just him versus Eben?
I mean, I wasn't thinking much. I was just trying to get the ball. And then I pushed him or something like that. And he pretty much filled me in until he realised that I was a triple R bastard. And again, when you are a triple R bastard, you recognise other tough people. And we kind of just hugged it out. And then loads of people came flying in. And I was actually fine. Like, I was going to have it. It was all going to end very quickly with him in the recovery position and me getting a red card, walking off. It never got to that point, luckily. It ended up just in a big bundle, didn't it?
Well, like most fights in rugby where it starts with good intentions, you then realise that we can't punch each other or do anything. So it just becomes basically pushing.
I mean, it was essentially like I needed the ball. I think he kicked it or something. I like shoved him and then just got filled in. So yeah, I wouldn't say it was a memorable or enjoyable experience, but it happened nonetheless.
Well, it's memorable for Sam Watson.
It was memorable for Sam Watson, but Eben is he's a nice chap. He's a modern day enforcer. You'd probably put him as.
Would you class yourself as a modern day enforcer, Ben? You know, in hockey, when like the two like goons, they have two enforcers, don't they? What do they call them? Like the goons, like, where they like Oh, he's our fighter. He's your fighter. Yeah, go on then, have a fight. Was that England versus Africa, Etzebeth versus Youngs, Ben, the two enforcers going at it?
Well, I didn't see anyone else queuing for it. So yeah, I guess I was. I didn't see anyone else trying to set the tone, you know?
That's all we need to hear, mate. It's fine.
I'll show you enforcement when I fucking see George Ford next.
It is the final weekend. Big rugby news. In the final weekend of the Women's Six Nations, France play England in the Grand Slam game. Ben, as our rugby analyst expert, what are your thoughts on the game? And also, you've got some secret inside intel from the England Red Roses camp.
Yeah, well, it's going to be, obviously, like you say, Grand Slam decider. Away in Bordeaux, the women made very easy work, really, of Ireland at the weekend and looked very, very good in front of a 55-odd thousand at Twickenham, and gave the fans plenty to shout about. But we've penciled in that this was always going to come down to last weekend.
I think the organisers did too, for some strange...
Yeah, I think the people who ever did the fixture list decided to put this game last. But England have won each of their last five Six Nations matches against France. However, three of the five wins have come within a margin of just 6 points or fewer. So
it could be tight.
Well, statistically, it says it could be tight. But I think England are playing some great rugby at the moment. And I think they should have enough to go there and win. I definitely think that. I think that John Mitchell's evolved their game. And certainly when I went into camp the other week, the environment, like you only see snippets, but everyone seemed in great spirits. It seemed like a very enjoyable place to be. Everyone very clear about what they want to do and where they want to head. I had a chat with Mitch, and you know, he's certainly really enjoying that role, and he wants to be able to do it, win games, you know, a number of different ways. And for him, it's like a proper build up to the World Cup or whatever, a cycle for the World Cup. So yeah, I expect England to go there and win. England have recorded more carry meters than anyone else, made more line breaks than anyone else, beaten more defenders than anyone else. So yeah, I anticipate England go there and win. And I think the way that they've been playing, the way they've been moving the ball, some of the tries they've been scoring, you know, Ellie Kildun, Abby Dow out wide as well. Like,
sorry, I'm just reading a stat. England had 1,549 carry metres last week against the Irish. It's almost a mile of carry metres. It's pretty much unheard of in the in the modern game. Which tells me two things. One, that England are serious about attacking and running the ball. And two, Ireland should probably do something about that.
You know, we're all about the love of rugby here, but Ireland women's team are shite. And England are very good, but Ireland got some serious work to do, mate. Like, they got some work to do, put it that way. So the England-France game will be a very enjoyable game. So I look forward to that.
I hear France are pretty good up front, though.
Well, they are. You know, the little interesting stat, France, the only team to maintain 100% scrum success in this year's tournament.
I've been watching some of the scrums, and I've been a bit saddened by the fact that some of the props only have six studded boots. In some regards for the championship, you'd hope it's the most competitive game, because France are the second ranked team in the Six Nations, aren't they? But from England's point of view, I think the wave that they're carrying, I think the momentum they're taking into the game, I think the French have been a little bit inconsistent. I think England are going to blow them away.
It'll be the most competitive game. And so the Red Roses are very good. Other teams are miles off, but as we've discussed before, it's not for the Red Roses to drop their standard, it's for the others to catch up. And right now, you look at Ireland at the weekend, they've got some serious catching up to do. Scotland and Wales have got some catching up to do, and England and France are easily the best team by quite something, but I still think the Red Roses will have more than enough this weekend to do it. And actually, it's probably the perfect challenge, having played some great rugby, going away in France, Bordeaux, and taking on that challenge, which I believe they will do. Good luck to them.
You said you were in camp. What did you... You went down on a Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday's a like a recovery slash sort of skills day for them. So yeah, I just caught up with the scrum halves. We did some passing, bit of kicking, general chat, and that was it. So yeah, popped down, and it was very enjoyable. Caught up with Mitch, as I say. I was there just to give a different set of eyes. And like I say, we passed, we did some kicking. There we are, Mo Hunt scored at the weekend. But we did no sniping within the 45 minutes. So
just take credit for it, mate. Big news, Ben.
Big news.
Big news. We've actually just hit our 1,000,000th download, which I think causes some celebration.
1,000,000 downloads, Coley. When did we start this?
About 1,000,000 downloads ago.
Why do we do this? For the love of the game, mate. Well, let's celebrate.
Go on. Yeah.
Get some of that down, yeah.
Glug, 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 glug.
Well, that's great. Thank you to everyone that continues to support us.
It's fantastic. It was quite humbling. I say, obviously, a lot of people listen and give it their time to listen to our pod. So thank you to all the listeners, because obviously without you, there would be no point in doing this pod.
Listeners, if you haven't hit the follow button yet, please do so. A million downloads, but what I will say, Coley, is where the fuck were they when I needed them for the draft pick? So,
million downloads, no votes for you.
No votes for me.
Talking about the million downloads, and we're going to continue to grow the pod. You're doing your best work, Ben. As joint CEO of this podcast, you're attending a black tie event this week, aren't you?
I am.
You're going to the Sports Industry Awards.
I'm going to be there talking all things
sports industry.
Sports industries.
I think there's going to be some big players in the world of sports industry.
I got no idea, mate, to be honest with you.
Well, you're there, so that's...
Yeah, well...
Yeah, that's one player in the sports industry that's there.
Yes, Coley, I'm going down there, mate. I am representing the pod, and I think I'm presenting a prize. I don't know what.
Probably the sports industry top prize, mate.
No, because I've got to get trained back in time, so okay, I think the last award's at 11:15, and I've got to be well out of there before then. But I'm going to be down there, mate. I'll be chatting, I'll meet some people, hopefully have an enjoyable evening. And it'll be good fun. You know, I'll go represent as well. Is there anything you need me to do? Is there anything you want me to do?
I'd like a snacks or beverage sponsor, please, Ben.
Okay.
Or car, travel, housing, gardening. I probably a new roof at some point. So, yeah, just drum up some sports. See, go and grease some palms and meet some people in the sports industry world and A, find out what the sports industry actually is and how, like, wide it is.
Hopefully, there's someone there that has a contact for lawnmowers. I need that ride on. I need to cut the village church grass. I need to be out there.
Don't, you're making a rod for him about there, mate. You commit to that once, though.
Yeah, Christ, I don't want to do that.
Do it once, and everyone will be like, Ben Youngs does it. They're like, why haven't you done it yet, Ben?
Yeah,
it's raining.
No, like, why? So, I don't want to do that.
Just reel it in a bit, yeah.
More podcast news. Courtney Laws is joining us next week on the pod.
Been confirmed.
Being confirmed. He's going to be coming down, coming into the studio at our secret location.
Right. Couple of questions before we finish. There's a question from James. Do you have any good Castro stories from his time at Tigers? I would regularly bump into him in Stonygate, and he was always an absolute gentleman legend. Castro being Martin Castrogiovanni, Italian, Leicester Tigers prop legend. A very interesting guy.
He was up for a laugh a lot of the time. He was good fun. I remember one incident, we went to the cinema. We used to go to the cinema like the night before a game quite a bit. And we were like late for the viewing, and I walk in first, and I'm walking through, and then at the top of his voice he shouts, "Look at me! Look at me! Look at me!" And like the entire cinema turns and stares at me, and obviously everyone else is like held back behind the door, and I'm just stood there. So yeah, I mean that's one story. I mean there's lots of other stories that I can't possibly tell on this podcast. But he is a gent and a good man.
Certainly is. So probably the best one that we weren't there, but when he decided to not go to the semi-final Racing Leicester and instead went partying with Zlatan in Vegas, which no one's going to blame him for.
That is a bit of a legendary story though, isn't it?
The fact you're mingling with Zlatan and got invited in the first place is good enough. But then secondly, to have the gall to sort of say, oh no, I've had a family emergency. I can't come to the game this weekend. And instead go to Vegas with Zlatan. Like that takes something else. And then thirdly, to be pictured in Vegas with Zlatan just adds to the... There's three parts of this story and all of them on their own are brilliant, but combined enough, that is, yeah, it's a legendary story.
That story is hero status.
Yeah. Right, it's a question from Gemma. Dan, retirement is looming. Oh, thanks, Gemma.
Hang on a minute. No, yeah. I'm not happy with that. I'm not happy with that, Gemma.
Oh, no, it says within the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah, there you are.
Life in the old dog yet. It's all about you or me. Big boys come knocking and you have to choose one. One, £500,000 to do Strictly Come Dancing, but you have to make the quarterfinals. Two, Radio 4 need a new travel person, but your shift starts at 4 a.m. every day. Three, the new face of Crocs. You have to be seen in public wearing them and watch all your dignity and self-respect leak out of the holes at the front. I'm reading that there's only one with actual cash in it. Getting up at 4 a.m. every morning to read the traffic and travel. I mean, sounds awesome, but why would I get up at 4 a.m. just to punish myself? And then you're the new face of Crocs. I guess you get a free pair of Crocs, but I'm probably, and it says, watch your dignity and self-respect leak out, which is similar to me going on Strictly Come Dancing, be watching all my dignity and self-respect leak out. I'm hoping I'd probably go down the line of being the comedy act, the one that's just shit at dancing because well, I can't bend, I've got no rhythm. I'd be that bloke that stands there while the dancer dances around you.
Yeah.
And then, like, you dress up as Zorro and you, like, swish your sword and, like, yeah. Haven't actually moved anywhere on the dance floor, but, and just go for that. And hopefully, you know, the public keep you in until the quarterfinals and you get paid. But, yeah, Gemma, I need a bit more. If I'm getting a new job, I need some form of what the benefits, what the PLMD benefits are, what the money situation is and that kind of stuff. Brat yourself in a dance?
No, not really. But, like, I'd rather do that than just walk around with Crocs for no reason than walk around with Crocs. And I'd rather go for £500,000 and look like a prat dance around than I would getting up at 4 a.m. to do Radio 4.
When it says the face of Crocs, are you more the feet of Crocs?
You would be the feet of Crocs.
Do you have to, like, get your face and feet into, because that would be another another issue. I don't think I could get my face and feet in the same picture unless it's from a long distance away.
I think it's safe to say that we both go number one and just roll the dice and see if we can get there.
And hopefully on that as well, there's been so many seasons of Strictly Come Dancing now that you'd hopefully just be one of those contests that everyone forgets about and never rings up ever again.
Just vanish.
Yeah. For the love of rugby.
If you want to drop us a line, get involved with our socials.
Just search for @loveofrugby. And if you've listened to all our episodes and need another podcast, go and find Joe Marler's Things People Do. For the Love of Rugby is ad-free on Amazon Music. If you listen on Apple, you can get it ad-free for £1 a week.
See you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.